everyone. Welcome to this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Jeremy.
And we write about RV and family travel with our three boys, Theo, Max, and Wes.
You can read about our adventures at RVFamilyTravelAtlas.com. And you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram.
On this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas, we are celebrating the arrival of the fall camping season.
Many people get a little bit mopey over Labor Day weekend as they say goodbye to the summer season.
But here at RVFTA, we are focusing on the positive and talking about all the reasons we think the fall just might be our favorite time of year to hitch up and head out.
Plus, for our recommendation of the week, these teachers are giving you one last summer reading assignment and demanding that you head over to travelswithbirdie.com and read Carrie Cox's amazing series of posts on Yosemite National Park.
She covers the good, the bad, and the sublime of her family's grand trip out west.
And we are, of course, delighted to have Go RVing as our RV FTA sponsor. Listen for a message from them just a bit later in our show. To find your way, head on over to GoRVing.com/RVFTA.
You may be crying into your potato salad about the shortening of the summer days, but here at RVFTA, we are breaking out the sweaters and the Dutch oven chili recipe. This is episode number 51, Fall Camping Rocks.
Before we head into this week's feature topic, fall camping rocks, because it does rock.
Yep, sure does.
We love fall camping. And a lot of people, when they think of camping, they think of those nice, crisp fall weekends. But before we head into all that good stuff, we need to do the RV FTA news roundup. So what do you got on the list tonight?
Yes. So, of course, we need to right off the bat remind you that we are going to be in Hershey, America's largest RV show, okay, from September 16th through the 20th with Progressive.
All right. At the Progressive booth, all kinds of fun stuff to do there. You want to stop by and have some fun with us.
Yeah, they have like activities and prizes, and there's lots of stuff going on there, and we'll be having fun there. So we've been getting some emails from our listeners saying like, oh, we're going to try to be there. We're not sure which day, whatever, like maybe Thursday, maybe Friday. Look. Fine. You don't know what your plan is, but we don't want to miss you. So make sure you drop us a line. You can Facebook message us or whatever and let us know.
Like, hey, will you be there in an hour? And we'll be there.
Yeah. Because we want to meet up with you at the Progressive booth, definitely, and see you. But we also kind of want to like...
We might walk around and go shopping with you a little bit.
We
if you would let us. I think that would be really fun. If someone's legitimately there shopping, we would love to walk around with you a little bit and see what you're looking at and talk about it in a later episode at some point.
Right. We have so many listeners that don't own RVs yet that are shopping, in that process of shopping for it. And it's really interesting to us and I think helpful to other listeners to hear people's like process and
everyone's
what they go through.
Fascinated with someone else's buying process.
Right. What did you how did you make
it's
that
like,
decision?
Yeah, what how did you come to the decision? Because it is such a complex thing.
Yeah.
All right. Now look, Hershey's a great place to go shopping because everything's there. I mean, they basically say every make and model is there. So they group them by manufacturer, which I also like, and I just found that out today.
Okay.
So if you want to see Winnebago's, the four or five dealers that sell Winnebago's are grouped together.
Okay.
If you want to go see Jayco's, they're all grouped together. So at a lot of other RV shows, if you want to see the Winnebago's, they could be in four different places.
Oh, sure. And one's here, one's there.
So Hershey makes it a bit more user-friendly to shop. And then you want to remember to stop by the Progressive booth and get some swag. And they do. They have cool swag and fun stuff to do.
Activities and prizes. That's all you need to know.
So come there to take a little break, to relax, to unwind, to say hello. And if you would let us walk around with you a little bit, that could be fun.
Yeah, very fun.
Okay, so what else is on the list?
All right, so another thing is the article that we had up on the Progressive blog was a real favorite of mine. We talked about about the different ways that you could control the costs of an RV vacation. Now, I said in like my social media posts that we were putting out there this week, I was saying like, hey, a lot of people say, oh, own an RV because it's cheaper. But we were pointing out in this article, it's not that it has to be cheaper. It's that
it can be cheaper.
It can be.
If you want it to be.
Right. You can meet your price point. That was our point. Like, do you have a budget of $10,000 for an RV? Hey, there is a pop-up or a hybrid for you.
Do you have a budget of $800 for a used pop-up?
Yes.
We know people that have done that.
We've camped with our friends who started off at an
$800
pop-up.
Lots of different price points.
Do you have $300,000 for a
coach? But it was more than that. It was the cost of food, and it was definitely a really nice post.
And we experienced that because we really do. Like, sometimes we, on a weekend trip, when we don't want to spend any more money than we would spend just hanging out at the house that weekend, we do tuna fish sandwiches, peanut butter and jelly, spaghetti and meatballs.
Right.
Like, we do it at the camper.
Like we would do at home.
We keep it simple.
Yeah.
And then when we have a little bit of a splurge vacation, like our family vacation or whatever, we go out to eat and experience all the local, like, you know, food culture and everything. So the price can vary according to your budget. And that is one of the really...
And I love the photo that I took for this post.
It's
at Turkey Swamp State Park.
State Park. So
actually,
that
it's
was
a county park.
Turkey okay,
Swamp
you're right.
County Park, which is like $30 a night.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It might even be less if you're a resident of Monmouth County. So it's like a inexpensive campground option. And it's this little tiny pop-up camper on this huge site
just surrounded by the woods.
And it just fit that article to some
right.
degree.
Like, what
or
do you want this vacation to be?
Yeah.
So what one of the funny things was when I posted on social media just saying, hey, this article's out there and check it out on the ways you can control the costs of RV vacations, everybody started commenting on all of their favorite things about RV vacations.
It didn't really have
and
something
nothing to
do
with money.
Because
I was talking about money and there was people chiming in and they're like, hey, well, it's not about the money for me. It's about the fact that I can take my dog
anywhere
I want. Or it's about the fact that I can feed my family the way I want to feed them, you know?
Or for some people, I can bring my kayaks with me, or I can bring my bikes with me.
Yeah.
So everybody has a different reason why love these RV vacations.
I can sleep in my own bed, not a bed that somebody else slept in, right?
And you pointed out all of these different reasons we had put in our 10 Reasons Why RV Vacations Are Better podcast last winter.
Yeah, episode 15 was 10 Reasons RV Vacations Are Better. We also did that as an RV show
presentation.
Right. Yeah. And it was so funny because people are chiming in with all these reasons. And every single one of them was on our top 10 reasons.
Like, people that RV are passionate about their reason why it's the best way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's nobody out there RVing who's not like passionately I don't know why I do it. It's not that great.
I don't know why I don't have
it
in a hotel
room
tonight.
It was so interesting that a lot of the comments were not necessarily about price, but about some other reason.
And you know what? I think that's important because that's true. We are talking about cost, but there are so many other reasons why people are attracted to this and why people end up almost being obsessed with it, right? Like this
Lots
being,
of people we know.
Yeah. And this becoming like the way their family travels. It isn't just about money. If it was, it wouldn't become such an obsession because people always blow the budget, right? And, you know, people would get on the plane and go and stay in the hotel room. But it was just an interesting little thing. And if you didn't listen to our top 10 reasons...
Go back to episode 15.
Yep, listen to
it. It was a classic.
Yep.
So we wanted to talk about our rally. Okay, so we're doing our fall rally October 23rd and 24th at the Philadelphia Westchester KOA. It's in the beautiful Brandywine Valley region of Pennsylvania, which, like, I haven't seen all of the great state of Pennsylvania, but it's the most beautiful part of the state that I have seen. It's a lovely campground. It's a lovely area. We sold out all the sites for the rally, but there are still some other sites around the campground. So if you want to come, you need to book it.
Yeah.
You're not going to be able to book this in 2 weeks. Because this campground always sells out on their Halloween weekends.
Right. We just want everybody who wants to come to be able
to come. And they're
so
doing a lot of great activities. There's going to be pumpkin painting. There's going to be trick-or-treating.
Right.
There's a live band Saturday night. So, like, we don't have to do anything. We're not really planning anything because they've got a lot of good stuff going on. So we'd love to meet you. We're excited to meet a bunch of new people coming to this rally that didn't come to the last rally. Okay. Our first birthday is coming up for this podcast.
Yeah, and there's been hot debate about exactly when our first birthday is in this
I keep saying it's episode 52.
Right.
And Stephanie keeps saying no.
It's
episode
not.
53
well,
is the
no,
birthday episode.
Well, no, it's because, you know, like our boys, you don't celebrate their first birthday 52 weeks after they're born. You celebrate it on the date, you know, like it's the date, the year later. So, well, anyway,
we're
throwing a dart at the board, guys. I'm giving you a little behind the scenes, like, banter. You hear the on-air banter.
You want to celebrate the birthday
yes.
at the rally.
Yes.
But we're also going to be celebrating the birthday on the show.
We
have a bunch of great stuff to give away. We're kind of holding back a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll have a couple episodes in a row, I think, where we do some great giveaways. When we started the podcast, we did a terrific run of giveaways, which frankly, I think helped built the audience for the show.
It's fun.
And so we want to return to giving some cool stuff away with companies we've worked from before and some new ones as well.
So we're going to have some giveaways, and we're also going to have a little birthday party for the podcast at the fall rally. So that'll be fun.
It'll be really
all
fun.
Right.
Okay, so we also have a fresh blog post up on our blog today.
Yay!
And this feels like
hip, hooray.
Feels like big news because we finished The Idiot's Guide to RV Vacations. Okay, just going through the editing process, which we're still involved in. But anyway, we have time to turn to our own blog and produce some really fresh new content on our own blog. I was very excited that Stephanie got a new post up today. So it just went up today. What did you write about?
Yeah. So I was kind of circling back around to the spring because at the beginning of the season, we did a whole segment on stocking your RV.
My RV.
I just knew it. I had this feeling you were going to like just throw it out there. So we really looked at how to make packing for trips a little bit easier. And we like focused on that this spring. And we put out a podcast and a couple of blog posts on it.
And I want to say that it really worked for us.
I'm
going to say, I'm going to confess and keep it real. Like, I feel like it worked for like almost all summer, and it was maybe just a little bit towards the end of the summer we got away from some of it.
How many nights? No, you're absolutely right.
But yeah, we were on the road 46 nights this
summer. We were in the camper for far longer
than
we ever were.
And we were writing the book, too. You know, so we were really busy. But there was a period this summer where I said, man, Stephanie, this organizational stuff is really working. Like, the RV is cleaner this summer than last summer.
Yeah. So what I did was, because we actually ran out of things that I think in our normal season would have lasted us, I started to notice that things were like running out, and I was forgetting what was running out and what wasn't. So of course, what do? I think about it, right? And I think like, what's my trick to fix this? Well, I had a packing tip from a friend from last year when I was doing a packing article. And I had thought about it.
Why didn't
and
you
I was
say
like,
who the friend
oh,
is?
Oh, my friend Allie Moss. And she's a musician. And so she actually tours with Ingrid Michaelson. Okay?
Right.
And so she is on the road. I don't even know how many nights.
She's on the road a lot.
A year.
She's probably on the road more than she's home.
Right. And she had told me what she did. So I thought of like that. And I was like, how do I apply that to the RV? Because she restocks when she gets home.
Yeah, and this is so interesting because she's like basically a rock star, right? You know, and we're traveling with three little guys.
We're the opposite of rock stars.
But a couple of her fundamental principles really worked.
Yeah,
you know?
She's one of the most organized people that I know in my entire life. So I take it seriously when she says something
and
works
for
her.
And her mom is big into organization, too.
Well, she gets it from her mom because it's a family thing to be organized. So I thought, well, how can I apply this? And I realized that what I needed to do was not wait till our next trip. Right? To think, what do I need for the camper? I have to have it in my mind from that trip. Now, I, you know, did the blog post on a very low-tech way to do this with a little whiteboard and a marker.
But it was so charming, though.
Because, you know what?
And you put it on the fridge of the RV.
Yeah.
And it's surrounded by all of our cute magnets. The photo you took was adorable. I loved it.
Look, I have tried the app for the grocery shopping in this family, the app for the scheduling of the garbage takeout and everything. And the bottom line is that sometimes low tech is best for us. Sometimes the whiteboard
it can be quicker.
is best for us. The calendar that's, I put up cork boards over the last year to just help organize the school stuff, because sometimes low tech works better for us. So I've shared a low tech solution, restock at the end of the trip.
Yeah, it was a really charming little post. You want to check that out up on rvfamilytravelatlas.com. We've been doing a lot of writing for other people. It felt like empowering to have something back up on our own blog.
I do use my notes on my phone all the time when we're traveling, and I have an entire note, right, that just has a list of all of the blog posts that I wanted to write this summer that I didn't have time to do. So I am super excited to be able to write those blog posts over the fall. It feels so good to get back on our blog.
And I'm going to get back in the game, too. I'm going to start rocking out a couple a week. Okay? Yeah. All right, we'll be back in a second with a sponsored message from our friends over at Go RVing. And now it's time for a sponsored message from our friends over at Go RVing.
Have you checked out all of Go RVing's great content on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and Pinterest?
Like them on Facebook for information about their upcoming events and newest blog posts from the scenic route.
Join the conversation on Twitter for lots of useful RV tips and tricks.
Follow them on Instagram to see stunning images that will inspire your next great adventure.
Subscribe to them on YouTube to watch short stories with real RVers who have fallen in love with the RV lifestyle.
And follow them on Pinterest for delicious recipes, tailgating ideas, and information about great RV destinations.
Find your way. Go RVing.
Now, I'm going to put the pressure on you here.
Okay.
What's your favorite social media site for Go RVing?
Okay, I do think I love Instagram. We've said it before. Yeah. Like, we're just so in love with just the images of Instagram and the very short little stories. And they do that little series where they do, like, things RVers say. And I know they do that on Facebook, too. But it's nice when it pops up on the Instagram feed. That's my favorite social media.
Yeah, and Instagram is so mobile-friendly to me, where I'm still not loving using Facebook on the mobile device. And look, Go RVing, they're sharing a lot of great photography from Just Five More Minutes, you know, Monica Bennett from Malamish Airstream. They're sharing a lot of the great work by photographers out there in the world of RVing. It's a very inspirational Instagram feed. I was going to pick that too.
Oh.
Okay. So, but I'll go next to YouTube.
Okay.
Okay. I love their YouTube channel, and I think everyone should head over and subscribe to them on YouTube. There's a lot of content on Go RVing's YouTube channel that's built up over the years. There's a lot of great, fun videos there.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of them are like 3 minutes, 4 minutes, five
short,
minutes. Kind of,
you know,
they are. They're
accessible.
Like little short stories. And some of them have stunning photography of great destinations. And some of them are just more like intimate interviews with our real RVers.
Yeah, and you know, I just thought about this a little bit. Go RVing really is one of those places that shares destination information in the RV world.
You're right.
Because a lot of the places, a lot of RV sites focus on tips and tricks,
utility
pieces. Because
they don't want to zone in on one geographical location.
Yeah.
Right.
And I have to say, I appreciate the fact that Go RVing is still inspiring me to visit certain places that I've never been before.
That's really,
I love that.
That's a great point. And for me, like, Pinterest is underused, you know. Like, honestly, I think I could see myself using
you're not
Pinterest more.
A recipe person. A lot of people use Pinterest who like to craft and who like to cook, and none of that is really up your alley. So
is Pinterest way more popular with women?
Yeah,
I don't know.
I'm sure.
I'm just asking because I like the idea of pinning and collecting articles. And also, I'd say again, on the sharing front, I really like through all their social media channels that go, if somebody else puts out a great tweet or, you know, a great article, they're going to retweet it and they're going to share it. Okay.
Yeah.
So if you follow them on social media, it's sort of a central location to get all kinds of great information about RVing. So follow Go RVing on social media. Mm-hmm. We'll be back in a second to tackle our featured topic. Fall camping rocks. So this week's feature topic is fall camping rocks. Now, are we just trying to sell everybody on this because we're like all sad summer? I mean, do we really believe this?
Okay. So we may be trying to sort of get ourselves over the sadness.
Self-fulfilling prophecy.
Right,
almost.
Right. And I think that that's true. I think no matter what, you get to the end of summer, and even if you're excited about what's to come, you're looking forward to the fall, I think it always feels like a bittersweet goodbye.
For me, it's not this slow transition. Like, I'm miserable at the end of summer. I'm like, oh my gosh, I don't want summer to end. I'm on vacation. We're traveling a lot. You know, I'm a teacher. And I mourn the end of summer.
Yeah.
But then as soon as fall kicks in and I get into my patterns and my rhythm, I do love it. And I love fall, and I love fall camping.
Right. And we've had this conversation quite a few times over the past. So spoiler alert, what happens every year? I think we have this conversation. We go like, okay, well, do we love, you know, when do we love to camp more? And I think it always boils down to the answer of we are happiest on our fall trips. Like, our fall trips feel the most magical.
It feels like it's the best time. And look, we're in the Northeast. It feels like it's the best time to be out in the RV. So we have an article up on KOA's Greater Outdoors blog this week. It's still up there right now. I think it's one of the five articles that are right up there. And we walked through five reasons why fall camping is the best. So we wanted to kind of elaborate a little bit more and talk about these five reasons and then go past that blog post and talk a bit more about fall camping and share a reader letter, et cetera, et cetera. So the first reason is we welcome the warm days and cool nights. And it sounds obvious, but frankly, if you're in the Northeast, the weather's better.
Yeah, it is. And we, you know, in the summer, you can be roasting. It's humid. You're battling the heat. We even talked with our correspondents, like, about their travels in the summer.
And Brett was in Glacier, and it was very, very hot. And on Carrie's trip out to Yosemite, they dealt with a lot of heat.
And at the Grand Canyon, like, you really are sort of
at the mercy of the weather.
Yes, yes. And you know, you try not to let it get the best of you, but it can.
Right.
I felt that way when we were in the Smokies this summer. It was really funny because we had been up in New England so many years.
So many summers in a row.
Right. And we were in the Smokies, and I was like, oh my gosh, it's beautiful here. I'm loving it. We're doing these great hikes, and I'm having such a good time, and I love water, water everywhere. And yet, the lack of a break from that, like, just humidity, right? The heat and humidity did kind of, like, wear me down a little bit. And
absolutely,
I couldn't wait to escape up to the cooler temperatures.
Yeah. And see, in the fall, at least the part of the great country that we're from, you have kind of summer-like days, but then the nights cool off.
Right. So we've camped all the way through into
late November
now. And I would say that most of the time, with rare exceptions, we just, you know, we keep an eye on the weather in the fall and we camp, and we don't actually go if it's going to be pouring rain the whole, you know, weekend or something. But we keep an eye on the weather, and we have those beautiful sunny days where you're like in a t-shirt practically out and about
for
the
day. I'm in shorts.
And then the great part of it is that you can light that campfire and wear your sweatshirt.
Put on a little blanket.
Yeah.
Okay. And it's that perfect campfire weather. Mm-hmm. And how many times in the summer do we not like really want to do a campfire at night because it's too hot? I mean, that happens, right?
Oh, yeah.
In the fall, you always want that campfire. And also, you can open up all the windows.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and let all that fresh air into the camper.
Yeah,
right?
And we struggle with that in the summer because it's not like we want to be like air conditioned people when we're camping and everything. But really, with our kids, we're like, oh my gosh, the only way that we're going to sleep through the night is to shut all the windows and turn
gets
on
hot
the
back,
air.
It stays hot back
it
in the bunkhouse.
It really gets hot.
It really does get hot back in the bunkhouse.
So it's so nice to be able to have that crisp fall.
Yeah, you
air
get outside in the warm weather, and the night you have that crisp weather, and that cup of coffee in the morning tastes so good. It tastes better. Because it's a little chillier out. I like to step outside and walk around on those
cool
mornings.
Some people like to light their fires in the morning, you know, their campfires in
the
morning.
To relight them, right? Some people kind of like let them die out and then relight them in the morning.
Yeah.
All right, so the second reason that we think fall camping is best, if you believe us, okay, is that we cook up our favorite, and by that I mean
by
Stephanie,
way, you mean
cooks up her favorite comfort foods, and I eat them. And I hadn't thought about this too much, but food is always part of the camping experience, but in the summer, not as much. In the fall, it comes to life even more.
Yeah. Well, we got more into grilling this summer. Everybody heard about our, you know, efforts to be better grillers.
And I grilled too.
Yeah, we both grilled this summer. We did a lot more grilling and that was good. But that's part of my kind of like about cooking when we're on the road in the summer is that I don't want to do those big breakfasts. Like, it's too hot. I don't want to cook like
Sometimes it's too hot to grill.
We do smoothies a lot and things like that. Right. And I don't, and like, I'm like, okay, just salads and stuff for dinner. Like, I like to keep things light in the summer because I get so hot and sort of like we've been active all day. And you don't really feel like that. I don't know. That sort of
You don't want a hot bowl of soup.
No. And I love the fact that all of a sudden cooking becomes so much easier at the campground in the fall because the things that are sort of easier to cook, those big one pot stews and everything, like it fits with the season.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So I'll have a couple posts coming up about this because I've been thinking about it. But I have a couple of my favorite chili recipes for the Dutch oven. I have a white chili recipe
that's a classic.
A family favorite. Yeah. Yes. I've, a friend of the family gave it to us, actually, both of us, when we were in college out in Ohio.
Hey, you've been making that for a long time. That's good stuff.
Yeah. And then I have a regular chili recipe that's a big hit.
I think
also.
The food even smells better in the crisper air than food cooking.
Yeah, I don't know
summer,
if there's any science to that. But, and then also, I'm going to share a recipe that I have for beer bread, which is one of the easiest things to make.
And
it is so good. And the thing is it's from the Lompoc Cafe cookbook.
In Bar Harbor, Maine.
Which is in Maine, in Acadia. And it's in our Idiot's Guide.
That's
so,
right.
So the Lompoc Cafe.
It is featured in the Idiot's Guide on the chapter.
You know,
the first chapter we wrote in the book, people, Acadia National Park.
It was. And so
let's give people an inside look into the Idiot's Guide. That's the chapter we wrote for the test. We had to write a test chapter to win the contract. And we chose Acadia National Park because we felt like we could really knock it out of the park on that one. Mm-hmm. And apparently it worked.
Yeah. Well, so it's interesting because this summer I've been thinking about some things that I haven't thought about maybe in a long time. And of course, the Lompoc Cafe. Being in there, my beer bread.
That cookbook of yours is so battered and beaten and old with soup stains all over it. I need to get you another one, I think.
Well, I don't think you can get it anymore.
Yeah, it wasn't in print last time, but I don't know
that
we've checked recently.
Okay.
We should check
again. This is a 15-year-old cookbook, so I don't know if you can, but I will share the beer bread recipe.
Okay, so the third thing we love about fall camping is that we say hello to harvest activities and Halloween weekends. Let's take harvest activities first, because some of our favorite sort of RV type activities take place in the fall.
Yeah, if you go camping in our area, and I know that this is the case for a lot of the country in the fall, no matter where you're driving, you're going to have those roadside stands with like the pumpkins and the apples.
We love apple picking. We love apple picking in the fall.
Yeah. And so our boys, it was so funny. It was like they felt the end of summer the other day. And I remember that happening to me when I was a kid. But were you in the room the other day when one of them, I think Max said, can we make an apple pie?
No, I didn't hear him say
that.
Okay.
So I think it was Max said the other day, can we make an apple pie?
Can we?
And I said, Well, we're going to be going apple picking soon. And after we go apple picking, we'll make an apple pie.
Your apple pie rocks.
Okay.
It does.
So, and we've made that on the road in the camper. I've made an apple pie. I've made baked apples.
Honestly, apple picking has to be one of our family's like top five favorite activities.
Yeah. Well, I think it's just something that's so accessible when they were very young, like at the age of two. It was just such an activity with them that they just really got
affordable, and you walk away with something.
And they eat so much while you're there. You're like, well,
they
we just made our
life,
money.
Really.
And
for the and a lot of RVers like to, you know, take pictures like I do. And
pictures.
It's just great picture taking too to go out and go apple picking.
Yeah.
Now we've embraced the Halloween weekends. Now that took me by surprise to see that it seems like every campground in the Northeast does these Halloween weekends, and they do them 4 or 5 weekends in a row. And God bless them, they do them because they sell the campgrounds out.
Okay. So I'm going to be very honest here. I am not a fan of Halloween.
I'm not really either.
As an elementary school teacher, I count it as the absolute worst day of the entire school year.
Because they're all like sugared out?
It is off the hook, cuckoo crazy.
Right.
No, like, you make it through the day. And I would say that every single elementary school teacher out there feels that way. You are just simply trying to survive. These kids are off the hook. And you know that it's exciting for them, so you try to get on board and you make it fun. But oh, Lord, is it exhausting. So it was like when the boys came along and I'm getting through that school day and then coming home to their, like, we're going, you know, like trick-or-treating. Yeah, it was like
too much.
The longest day. So I have never been a huge fan of Halloween.
But you love the Halloween weekends at the campground.
We did it for the first time ever last year. And I have to say, I was a fan. We're going. Look, we scheduled our rally.
We scheduled our rally very intentionally on a Halloween weekend.
It was like my Halloween speed. Well, that sounds a little bit
weird. I get it.
But like
Look,
Halloween.
We go to, you know, we went to the Philadelphia Westchester KOA last year. We're going this year. It's a smaller campground. There's a limited amount of candy they can collect, right? So it's not like they can just keep going and going like around the neighborhood.
Right.
It's going to be a smaller amount of candy. Mm-hmm. Also, but we did the pumpkin painting and we did, there was the band at night. It wasn't just about the candy and the trick or treat. Yeah. And everyone had decorated their RVs. It was very fun.
It was just fun on the right scale. So that was good. It worked for me. There was like uptime, downtime, other stuff for us.
I would love to tell the boy. We went canoeing on the Brandywine River. I would love, and I'm going to be honest, we're probably not going to do this. I would love to tell the boys, let's just do trick-or-treating at the campground and skip it in the neighborhood.
You are out of your mind.
I just said we're not really going to do it.
And see, and that's where I step in and I'm like, you're cuckoo, because I'm taking them trick-or-treating in the neighborhood. Like, to me, even though it's exhausting to me, I love it being a mom, having those moments with your kids where you see them, like, just out of their minds, excited.
And they get to use their
costumes
more than once.
Yeah, okay. No. Even though it's exhausting to me, it is truly amazing to watch.
I want to ask our listeners, too, what do you think of these Halloween weekends? Just because we're sitting here saying that we really like them doesn't mean that you do. And I've heard from other people that they're like, oh, I don't want to go camping on that weekend.
Right.
So I'm just curious. Anyone out there love them? Anyone out there hate them? Let us know. Drop us a note. Okay. The fourth reason why we love fall camping, we say bye-bye to bugs, don't we?
Well, the boys were starting this summer to be like, I want to eat in the camper at certain times.
Well, their legs were just chewed up.
They're the kind of kids that are like the bug magnets.
When we went to Acadia National Park when Max and Thea
were
two,
mm-hmm.
Our pediatrician is about to say his name. I don't need to say his name on the air. I don't know why I would or wouldn't. But I remember bringing them into the pediatrician and he's like, what happened to these children? You know, they were just like eaten up by bugs in Acadia. And look, we love New England in the summer, but there's bugs in New England in the summer.
There's bugs everywhere in the summer.
Bugs everywhere in the summer.
That's just how it is.
Yeah,
so,
and in the fall, bye-bye bugs.
I love the fact that when we're camping in the fall, there's not the flies everywhere and the mosquitoes everywhere and everything. So that really, like, works well for me.
I think an underrated reason to appreciate fall camping, because you just sort of, like, take it for granted.
No,
you don't actually think
about
it.
I love it.
Our fifth reason why we love fall camping is that we feast our eyes on fall foliage.
Yeah.
Okay, now for us, we would love to get up to New England for fall foliage, but it's hard for us to do that once the school year starts. Let's be frank. If you can get to New England, get to New England. For us, we love heading into like Pennsylvania Dutch mm-hmm. country or to the Brandywine Valley region that we mentioned before. And who doesn't love a little leaf peeping in the fall?
Yeah. I mean, it's just, it just makes everything seem a little more magical. We found, like, when we started to visit the KOA in Philadelphia, Westchester, we just were like, oh my gosh, taking these canoe trips down the river with all the leaves and the, even just fishing.
I took some of my favorite photos canoeing on the Brandywine River with all of the colorful leaves in the water. Again, we know lots of photographers at RV.
I think that
time.
One of our first fall camping trips was in Allentown, and
Allentown,
we went
KOA.
To the Hawk Mountain Sanctuary.
Right.
And that was another, like, we were standing there on the overlook with all of that beautiful scenery with the leaves and everything. So those moments, also at the Delaware Water Gap one year, we had, like, I mean, the boys were
rolling around in the leaves.
Yeah, and we were at the Delaware Water Gap, and there was just leaves everywhere.
Well, and leaves aren't just to take pictures of and admire. They are to make big piles
exactly,
and play in.
Okay? And jump in, yeah.
All right, we'll be back in a second, and we're going to read a letter from a reader, and we're also going to share a couple of our favorite places for fall camping. Welcome back to the show. So we're not the only ones that love fall camping. We had a lot of great responses from our listeners, and we wanted to share one of them from one of our nearest and dearest podcast listeners, JP. He wrote in and said, wow, why we love fall camping? Let me count the ways. Well, you already did, except for one. And now actually he's going to give us a few reasons why he loves fall camping that we didn't mention. Mm-hmm. So this is like a nice addendum to what we just did. He goes on to write, we enjoy camping in the fall because the weather is not as hot. We don't do well in heat, and you're not the only ones. We were stuck at Cherrystone at the Eastern Shore of Virginia during a heat wave this past summer, and all anyone wanted to do was stay in the AC in the camper or go swimming. And nobody likes that when it gets so hot that, like, let's sit inside the RV in the heat to get out of the heat, okay? I did find a neat nature center down there. The building had AC. Woo. But going out hiking along their pretty trails was a real chore. I'm sure that in the fall it will be much nicer. So that's another really great reason to me, is it's much nicer hiking weather.
Yeah, and I think that what JP is saying about something that would normally be beautiful being a chore in the heat is absolutely true. It just it kind of drags everybody down a little bit and takes the energy out of the exploration. So and we feel that like re-energized kind of nature of our travel
in the fall.
Yes.
A second reason that I didn't see in your blog, and he's referring to that post from the Greater Outdoors for KOA, was that there are fewer crowds. And so true, right? I mean, we only get to camp on the weekends in the fall typically, and the campgrounds do get crowded. But for, you know, depending on your lifestyle, if you can camp during the week, campgrounds are relatively empty.
Absolutely. That's an awesome advantage. If you are not held hostage by like summer vacation, then
The best time of year.
Absolutely. Hands down, the best time.
And that
time
brings
to
up
travel.
The only reason I don't love fall camping.
Yeah.
It's because I'm not on summer vacation anymore and I have to go back to work Monday.
Yeah. If we could pick our months that we could travel most extensively, September and October would probably be them. Yeah.
Okay. He goes on to write, even when we went to the endless mountains of Pennsylvania last fall during a quilting festival, the campground was not nearly as full as one would expect during a summer weekend. The fall foliage was spectacular, both along the creek that ran beside the campground and along the Route 6 highway. Cape Cod was almost deserted when we were there last September. The beautiful beaches we had almost to ourselves. And did we love Cape Cod.
Yeah.
And it wasn't ridiculously crowded when we were there, but it was crowded.
Well, Cape Cod is crowded. A little early. And hit it right before the big summer crowds.
But still,
came.
There were lines for food, and it was
the idea of going
to go to Cape Cod in September or October, and just be able to have that place. It's paradise, paradise, absolutely. Okay, he goes on to write, fall festivals are another reason why to camp after the summer. Last year, besides the quilting festival, another town in the Endless Mountains had an apple and cheese festival. What yummy treats were there! Plus, a lot of local craftspeople who had their wares on sale. We purchased a number of Christmas gifts that delighted the recipients. So, I mean, it does seem there's more going on festival-wise in fall than summer.
Oh, absolutely. It's a and again, that has to do with the weather. Of course. And it also has to do with the whole harvest thing, too. There's a lot of, like, farmers, you know, markets and things like that because things are being harvested. Now, I just want to be, like, really clear on this, because a lot of people, you know, some people might say, well, okay, the spring is a shoulder season too. So what's the difference? Well, I think a lot of the difference is water temperature, right?
For swimming,
you can
go
to a lot of the places in September and the water is still warm.
Absolutely. Whether you're talking ocean, lake, whatever.
Right.
Yes, you still can do a lot of swimming September, October, where April, May, not so much.
The water is so cold. And also, of course, you usually in many places do not have a heavy rainy season, whereas spring can be a heavier rainy season.
Or just rain or even cold, the lingering winter.
Yeah.
Okay, just to sum it up, JP writes, to sum it up, fall is really our favorite time to get the RV out of the driveway. Oh, yeah. A lot of campgrounds drop their prices after Labor Day. Okay, and that's another great point that we didn't think of, is that a lot of campgrounds do adjust their prices seasonally.
It's not seasonally. Peak season anymore.
It's not just like if you're renting a house or whatever, campgrounds are sometimes substantially drop their prices. Like I remember camping at seashore campsites, which we'll mention again in a second, in Cape May, and they dropped their price. Like I was shocked at how low their fall price was, and the weather's still beautiful. You can still go swimming.
Right.
So thank you for writing in, JP. And we wanted to share some of our favorite places where we camp in the fall.
Yeah.
Okay. Where we actually get to go in the fall, not like New Hampshire or Vermont or something where it's kind of hard for us to get up there.
So okay. So in other words, like these are not like the ideal places to camp.
Yeah, this isn't some dream list. These are the places we like to go in the fall.
Okay. So oftentimes we're limited to weekends in the fall, long weekends. But I wanted to mention that sort of maybe outside of most people's expectations, I believe that beach camping is actually at its best in September.
I agree completely.
So, and really, this is all up and down the East Coast. I'm not just saying in our area. I think that's true all the way down to South Carolina.
Almost the entire Eastern Seaboard.
Right. You're going to find the best beach camping in the fall. Why is this? I just mentioned water temperatures are still warm, but then the heat is not, you know, burdensome. Like you're not like looking for shade everywhere.
To get specific with someone who's considering traveling to do some beach camping on the East Coast, in September, the ocean temperature can still be in the 70s.
Absolutely.
Or in the upper, absolutely in the upper 60s. So it really is still very swimmable.
The low is 68 degrees, really, a lot of the time.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So I love that feeling. You know, it's the feeling of the water being a little warmer than the air. So you're like warmer in the water and you're kind of staying in the water because you don't want to get out and shiver. You get out, you wrap a nice towel around you. It's awesome. And then, so growing up, we always camped at Assateague Island in September. A long weekend, a lot of the time, a lot of my camping.
Great, cool
I've talked about the military tent camping of my past. That took place at Assateague Island in Maryland, a state park. And it was just, the mosquitoes weren't as bad there.
Yeah,
at that
but you
time.
Could still go for a swim, have the cool campfire at night.
Empty campground. You have a beach all to yourself.
In more recent years, we love going to Cape May in September, not even October. We love to go in September. Summer crowds thin dramatically. The ocean is still around, you know, maybe around 70 degrees.
We swim every time.
But here's the thing, right? In Cape May, all the campgrounds keep their pools open till about October 1st, where almost anywhere else around us, anywhere north of us, definitely, pools typically close
Labor Day. Yep.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And even in New Jersey, where we're from, most of the pools close Labor Day.
Yeah.
Cape May is far enough south. It's actually below the Mason-Dixon line, which may shock some of you.
What?
Yes, it is.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
You just shocked me. Okay.
Am I wrong?
I don't know. I'm surprised.
Isn't the Mason-Dixon line the one that runs below Pennsylvania, straight across the state of Pennsylvania? Or did I just get that wrong?
Yeah, no, Maryland. Yeah, okay. I didn't know that.
So anyway, it's far enough south that it's just a bit warmer down there. So we love to go, and it's like our last gasp to do a lot of pool swimming.
Yes.
So we love a nice September weekend in Cape May, and we recommend Holly Shores, and we recommend seashore campsites even a little bit more. And two of our podcast listeners, there right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay? So they got the chance to do a last minute camp trip, and they said to us, we want to go to Cape May, and
we said Holly Shores or seashore. Everyone agrees those are both the top places.
Yeah. So hopefully
in Cape
they'll have a good time there. We're jealous. It's a great place to go.
So where else do we love to camp in the fall?
Well, we always love to head into the great state of Pennsylvania, which is right next door to us, because I have to say a lot of those places that are inland and not at high elevations. I don't want to visit
them
in the summer.
They're so hot. So many places in Pennsylvania are really hot in the summer. Yes. I'm sorry.
So then these places are beautiful, like the Brandywine Valley or
Pennsylvania Dutch Country.
Pennsylvania
Dutch
Country.
Which we put in the Idiot's Guide.
There you go. There's
okay, so
one.
Hey, our Pennsylvania listeners, we did a chapter on Pennsylvania Dutch Country.
Right, Lancaster County. And we've gone there in the fall. Again, it just, it's a great temperature and all of those fall activities really come
off the hook with the harvest stuff.
With the harvest festivals and everything. It's awesome there in the fall. So we love it there. We've also gone up to the Lehigh Valley region a couple of times.
Yes.
And
yeah, we love our Pennsylvania camping in the fall. We're in the summer. I'm just going to be honest. We're not going to go camp in Pennsylvania in the summer.
Nope.
That's us. Okay.
Mm-hmm. We're going to go to the mountains. We're going to go to the Say.
We also love the Skylands region in the northwest corner of New Jersey. Part of the Appalachian Trail is there. It's very mountainous. I believe it's the Kittatinny Mountains. Mm-hmm. Okay. It's a really lovely part of New Jersey for fall foliage. It doesn't look anything like the rest of New Jersey. It looks kind of like Ireland a little bit. Mm-hmm. And again, we're not going to go camping up there in the summer. We're going to go to somewhere that's bigger and grander to us. But when we want to do a weekend trip, we'll go to either Pleasant Acres, which is a working farm and a campground that we really like, or we'll go to Camp Taylor.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and girl camper Janine Pettit loves Camp Taylor.
Oh, that's
as well.
Her like favorite.
That's
New
one
Jersey
of her favorite spots. So
now.
That's I think an often overlooked RV destination, the Skylands region of New Jersey, but there's great apple picking and all of that stuff.
Right.
Okay, so we'll be back in a second with our recommendation of the week. For our recommendation of the week, we'd like to point you towards the blog of our own Missouri correspondent. Okay, so it's travelswithbirdie.com. We had her on just a few episodes ago, and the episode was titled Dispatches from Glacier and Yosemite. Okay, so we had Brett on for Glacier and Carrie Cox on for Yosemite, and she went on this epic trip. And, you know, I almost felt like we didn't talk enough about the specific blog posts. And I just reread all of them recently, and it's just a wonderful group of five or six blog posts about the trip to Yosemite.
Mm-hmm.
And it really brought Yosemite to life for me in a way that nothing else has. So I want everyone, all of our listeners, to really kind of go to that blog, go to Carrie's blog, and read each of those posts in order.
Yeah.
I know we all follow a million people on social media, and we see this picture and that picture, but some of us kind of forget to go to people's blogs and actually dig in and read.
And we do that too, because you know it's there, and you plan on getting to it. But the thing is that Facebook, Instagram, all those social media platforms are impressions, right? You're like seeing things and they're piquing your interest. But what we've been thinking about as we've been doing more travel and travel writing is that those really great articles from travel magazines that
are
like
gone.
Right, that really just captured your imagination and made you just die to go to a place.
Yeah, the American magazine is really struggling, and a lot of travel magazines don't exist anymore.
Right.
And even it's amazing, a lot of the great travel magazines, like a National Geographic Traveler, they have such short articles.
Mm-hmm.
And it might only be a 500-word article in a major American magazine with a couple pictures.
Right.
So now, you know, bloggers are a dime a dozen. Everyone has a blog.
Yes.
But not everyone has a great blog.
Yeah.
And Carrie's got a great blog going. And if you read these five or six posts, it really feels like reading an old-fashioned travel magazine.
Mm-hmm.
The photography's great. The storytelling is good. And we both like the fact that she deals with some of the real struggles of going to the park. Okay, it's not all sunshine and roses. The first post was called Yosemite, Keeping It Real.
Yeah.
And they got overwhelmed on the first day. And it actually was not like necessarily a great day.
Right.
And that kind of reminded me that, you know, we dream so big about these family trips to our national parks. And you know, they can be really hard to tackle and they can be overwhelming, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it is so important to have a plan. And I have to say, after reading her posts, Yosemite seems particularly challenging.
I think it does.
Mm-hmm. Acadia, our favorite national park, right? Our favorite national park
yeah.
Is really accessible. Mm-hmm. And the RV parks and the campgrounds are really close by.
Yeah.
Okay, Yosemite, she had to camp pretty far away and drive in every day. And there was just the struggle of even finding a place to stay with the full hookups.
Yeah. And I think Brett found that Glacier was a little more accessible too. And it seems that way to us.
Yeah, and Glacier is so far away from population centers.
But even he said, oh, we didn't get over to, the east side of the park, right? And, you know, there's like always those issues with these dream vacations.
But Yosemite, we know, is really incredibly difficult to book one of the campsites inside the park. I mean, they go within seconds. It's almost like they have to have like a divine intervention to get a campsite inside of Yosemite. I think Glacier, there's just more openings and possibly even more campgrounds.
Yeah.
So there, you know, she tackles the challenges in the blog post. And after that rough first day, they had a series of very magical days. Yeah. And so it makes it kind of fun to read the narrative. They did a float on the Merced River. Okay, they didn't go tubing in the Merced River. They got like a raft.
It's a raft, yeah.
And in each of the posts, the photos are just really gorgeous and really kind of pulled me into this idea of Yosemite visually. And then just the next few days, they had pretty magical days. She's very honest about having to do a lot of driving, all over the place, which we're not used to with our national parks from the east.
Right.
Which, you know, you can see a lot of Acadia in 5 days. You can. Mm-hmm. It's just much smaller. So we really recommend that everyone go and just actually sit down, read the posts, enjoy the photographs. Terrific job, Carrie. We loved these.
Yeah, and it really is like sitting down with some short travel essays. And that is the difference between
40 years ago.
Yeah, it is. It's travel essays. She's done a remarkable job at capturing the sense of a place and what it would feel like as a family to travel there.
Yeah,
and I love that.
And, you know, Carrie's a librarian and a former English teacher. I'm an English teacher. I'm going to be snotty for a second. You know, everyone does have a blog. You know, not everyone's a writer.
Yeah.
It's just, I'm sorry, not everyone is a writer. And it's okay to say that. Carrie's a great writer.
Yeah, she is. So enjoy her pieces and maybe let them inform your bucket list trip to
Yosemite. We'll be back in a second to wrap up the show. Thank you so much to our sponsor, Go RVing. To find your way, head on over to GoRVing.com/RVFTA and make sure you use that RVFTA so they know that you're coming from us to them. And we want to give you a sneak peek of next week's show because we are so excited for next week's show. Stephanie, tell our audience a little bit about what's going to happen on the podcast next week.
Yes. Yeah, so, of course, we have to start gearing up for the 100th anniversary of the national parks, right?
And we want to start gearing up now.
Why wait, right? We have a whole year of anticipation, okay, coming up. So what we did was our very first thing that we're doing to celebrate the 100th anniversary of the national parks was to interview Max Slapkin from the Creative Action Network.
He's the co-founder and CEO of the Creative Action Network.
And they have the See America project that we have talked about before on this podcast. It was one of our very first giveaways, some posters from the See America project that celebrates the See America campaign of the past with modern artists.
It was started by the WPA during the Great Depression, and they have revitalized and given new life to the See America project with a great generation of new artists who are celebrating our national parks through some really stunning posters, mugs, t-shirts, incredible artwork.
So we interviewed him, and it was a great interview, and we're so excited to share it with you next week. But in the meantime, we're going to give you another sneak preview at the coupon code.
So Max so generously offered our listeners a 15% off coupon code. And the website is seeamericaproject.com, right? I have that right. Yes. Seeamericaproject.com. That's a generous coupon code, okay?
Right. And you just have to enter in RVFTA.
Just enter in RVFTA. And I am putting a kind of a call to action out here to our listeners. I want you to go to this shop, do some Christmas shopping with that coupon code, okay? And wherever you traveled this past summer, whether you went to Yosemite or you went to Glacier or you went to Acadia, go pick out a really beautiful poster to hang up in your house and celebrate that trip. And it'll be a constant reminder of that awesome, awesome vacation.
Yeah, and we'll be talking with him, too, about some of their new products. We have the calendar. We already bought
postcard
it.
Set, and we're going to be doing some giveaways. We're going to do a couple See America giveaways, but start rocking that coupon code, okay? So head over to SeeAmericaProject.com, enter RVFTA for 15% off anything in that shop. We'll see you next week for another great episode of RV Family Travel Atlas.
Yeah.